Welcome back. Well, I'm delighted to welcome to Ring of Fire an old friend. He is now a celebrated author. He is the author of the New York Times bestseller, Evidence of Harm. David Kirby has become one of the nation's experts in the issue of mercury and autism, an issue that Bobby Kennedy has spoken about a great deal on this program. And in his absence, I'm delighted to have a chance to talk with David. David, welcome to Ring of Fire.
Thank you, David. I don't know how celebrated I am.
We're celebrating you right here. You've spent a great deal of time with people who are dealing with this on a day-to-day basis in their own lives. This is not just a political problem. This is a personal problem for tens of thousands of families.
It absolutely is. And if I could say, I think that's what made my book kind of special. It's not just about the politics or the science or the legal stuff. It's about real families who are struggling with a real problem, and that's the fact that their children, mostly boys, were born perfectly normal, started developing and meeting all of their milestones, and then in most cases, around 18 months, 2 years of age, they regressed, lost all their speech, lost all their eye contact, and were diagnosed with autism. And a lot of people like to think that autism is just quirkiness or, you know, smart kids who don't like to hang out with other kids. Well, that might be a very, very small minority of what we call Asperger's syndrome, extremely high-functioning autistic kids. But for the most part, and certainly the kids in my book, autism is, it's a devastating diagnosis. It affects the entire family. It affects the entire community. And we as a society really need to just sit down and figure out what is causing this and what we're going to do about it.
Let's put the numbers into perspective. For people who don't know, David, this is something that is a phenomenon of the last 25 years. We've seen the numbers go from, it was 1 to 2 per 10,000 children in the 1980s in this country, to what is it today?
The CDC's latest estimate is 1 in 150 children.
Let me stop you. Going from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 150, that's extraordinary.
Yeah, we've never really seen anything quite like it in terms of childhood diseases, and there are people out there still who will argue that autism is purely a genetic disorder, that there is no environmental component to it, and in fact, it has been steady at 1 in 150 people. We are just better now at recognizing it and diagnosing it, and I have to tell you, that's a pretty steady damnation of the medical profession if 5-10 years ago, they were not able to recognize a child with autism. I can recognize them walking down the street. I can hear autism around the corner before I even see it. I am not a medical professional. How is it possible that I can recognize a kid with autism? And yet 5-10 years ago, theoretically, these doctors were simply unable. They just didn't know, and these kids went undiagnosed. The truth is, I believe, 10-20 years ago, these kids did not exist in the same numbers they did today. Something happened to them in the late 80s, early 90s, something in our environment. Not all kids with autism, but I do believe a good number of the increased numbers are attributable to something that happened in our environment.
Well, let's get very specific about that, because the issue is mercury. The issue is how mercury may have come in contact with these children in much greater numbers, in a higher proportion, and obviously, one of the key areas of study is the issue of vaccines, childhood vaccines, with a component called thimerosal. What is thimerosal, David?
Thimerosal is a biological preservative. It was invented by Eli Lilly and Company in the late 1920s. It started being put into vaccines in the 1930s, and that mercury acts as an antibacterial agent, an antifungal agent, so that vaccines can be marketed in a 10-dose vial. Every time the nurse or doctor introduces the syringe through the rubber seal, they might introduce harmful bacteria or fungi. The thimerosal prevents contamination of the solution. And I want to stress that nobody is saying that thimerosal is the one and only cause of autism. I think that there are many causes of autism. I think that there are many subcategories of autism. I think some of them might be genetic in nature. I think a good portion might be triggered by mercury, whether in the environment or in vaccines. And there's a brand new study that suggests that certain pesticides in California are increasing the risk when pregnant women are exposed to these pesticides. They have a greater risk of giving birth to children with autism.
But is there any question in your mind that thimerosal plays some part in this phenomenon?
Oh, absolutely, David. I'm not going to say that I'm 100% convinced that, that thimerosal is playing a role. I don't think the science is there yet, but I do think that there is ample hard biological evidence done in the test tube animal studies, clinical studies of children with autism versus typical children that would suggest a role for mercury and or other neurotoxins when a child is exposed to them in certain amounts at a certain stage in development, whether that's prenatally or in, say, the first year of life, and with a certain genetic predisposition in a certain subset of children in whom the introduction of, say, organic mercury prenatally or into an infant might trigger these symptoms that we call autism.
Well, as you know, you and Bobby part company on this. Bobby is absolutely convinced and a very powerful and passionate advocate for the fact that this has been a cover-up, frankly, on the part of the pharmaceutical companies. What you're saying, and I want to just be very clear, is that you're not ruling that out, but based on the science and the evidence that you have studied, you cannot come to that same conclusion yet. Is that a fair statement?
I think that's a fair statement, and I respect Bobby Kenny for coming to the conclusion he did. We do part company there because I'm not quite ready to make that. I want to see more science. But I think that on the list of candidates of possible contributors to this epidemic, mercury and thimerosal are certainly way up at the top.
Has there been any in your investigation and in looking at these pharmaceutical companies, and we see that Merck and GlaxoSmithKline are continuing to market now in China, I see, their pediatric vaccinations, which would include thimerosal. Have they tried to inhibit this kind of study?
You know, they almost have not had to because the CDC apparently might have been doing it for them. The CDC and other companies and organizations in Europe have studied, done large-scale population studies, epidemiological studies looking at the relationship between thimerosal and not just autism, but other disorders like ADD, ADHD, et cetera. These were not drug company-funded studies. They were paid for by you and me. The CDC concluded that there was no connection between thimerosal and autism, but that was after five generations of analyses over a four-year period, in which they kept changing the entry criteria and basically manipulating the data, some would say, to get a certain desired outcome.
Why would they do that?
Because the CDC is in charge of promoting vaccine use in this country. They are the ones responsible for getting the rates in this country up as high as they are. They are also charged with monitoring vaccine safety. That is just blatantly a conflict of interest. In fact, it's almost unfair to ask the CDC to monitor the same thing it's supposed to promote.
We're talking with David Kirby. He is the author of the New York Times bestseller, Evidence of Harm. This is Ring of Fire. I'm David Bender with Robert Kennedy Jr. and Mike Papantonio. We need to take a quick break. Stay with us. We'll be back with more with David Kirby in just a moment. Welcome back to Ring of Fire. I'm David Bender here with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Mike Papantonio. Our guest is David Kirby. He's the author of Evidence of Harm, which is a remarkable book on the connection between mercury and vaccines and the autism epidemic. David, before the break, we were talking about the fact that, at least in your view, the science is not yet conclusive. There's obviously some connection to environmental factors and almost certainly mercury. You're not prepared yet to reach the same conclusions that Bobby Kennedy has reached. I understand that there's an effort now in the Congress. Carolyn Maloney, Congresswoman from New York, has a bill to actually mandate a new study. Is that right?
To fund a study, yes, of vaccinated versus unvaccinated children, which is really a very simple and elegant idea when you think about it. I don't know what the minimum number you would need, but look at, say, 5,000 children who have received vaccinations and 5,000 children of the same age that have received no vaccinations, one would expect that the vaccinated children would be healthier. And perhaps they are. We don't know because we've never actually looked before. There was a private group, a parents group called Generation Rescue, which funded a private study, which showed that among boys of a certain age, the vaccinated boys were about 2.5 times more likely to have autism. Now, that was a telephone survey, and it would be helpful to have that followed up with a real study funded by the U.S. government. That would put this issue to rest pretty quickly, I think.
Isn't the concern that the families that you've talked to, and I know that Bobby has been speaking with and hearing from, isn't the concern that, you know, while these studies are going on, more and more children are potentially being harmed by these vaccinations? And doesn't somebody have to make a decision in terms of possibly just stopping this program until we know? Isn't this too high a risk?
Well, parents have been asking for the total removal of thimerosal for years and years, and the FDA and the CDC have refused. President Bush, when he ran for re-election, issued a campaign promise to ban mercury from childhood vaccines and vaccines given to pregnant women, such as the flu shot. Now, in the current child insurance bill, currently before Congress, there is a provision introduced by Dave Weldon of Florida to ban mercury in the flu shot, and Bush is threatening to veto that bill for a number of reasons, but one of the results of his veto would be to not ban mercury in vaccines. And then, of course, all the vaccines that we're exporting overseas that you mentioned, by the way, not just to China, but Latin America, all over the Far East, many countries in Africa, and the Middle East.
You are looking at this. You're a journalist. You've been looking at this, trying to make as objective an analysis as you can. Would you favor that thimerosal and mercury be removed from vaccines, or do you think this is something that can still wait for further study? Where do you come down?
Oh, I think, you know, to the extent that a journalist can have an opinion, I absolutely favor the removal of mercury from vaccines. It's not necessary. Most vaccines now we get the kids don't have mercury in it or just trace amounts. We remove it and put it into single-dose vials that don't require a preservative. But we as adults are still getting the full amount of mercury in most of our shots. And, again, we're exporting these to children. So, yes, I see no downside from removing mercury from vaccines other than perhaps shaving a few dollars profit off the bottom line of the major pharmaceutical companies. But
I think that would be horrible.
$2. They will still have their Christmas bonuses, I assure you.
David, in now Minnesota and Iowa, the rate of autism is down 20%, as I understand it. These are the numbers that you shared with me before we went on the air. And it's down something like 8.1% in California. What do you think is the reason for that?
Well, what's interesting about those numbers is it's the first time ever that we've seen any kind of decrease from one year to another in terms of autism numbers. Now, we're looking at the very youngest children, so the children who were born right around the time that what Bobby Kennedy calls the thimerosal generation began to wind down. There was plenty of mercury in vaccines well into 1999, 2000, 2001. Then it gets a little bit iffy. When did they finally come out of vaccines? Was it 2002, 2003, or even 2004? There's quite a bit of dispute over that. But if we look at education data, which admittedly is not the best data, but it's all we have to look at, in states like Minnesota and Iowa, Iowa was the first state to ban mercury in vaccines. If we look at the youngest kids, the 3 to 5 year olds in Iowa, between 2003 and 2006, the numbers are off by 20%. In Minnesota, among 2 year olds, the numbers are also off by 20%. And in California, which is believed to keep the best autism records, it's not done through the education system, it's done through the state's own Department of Developmental Services. If you look at three-year-olds, the very youngest kids who were now born in 2004, their rates are off 8% over three-year-olds the year before.
You can potentially attribute this to the actual phenomenon of the thimerosal being removed and people being much more careful in terms of vaccinating their children. There seems to potentially be what we talked about at the beginning, what would be the result of a study that the Maloney is suggesting between vaccinated and unvaccinated. We're seeing it on the other end potentially now in Minnesota, Iowa, California.
It's still too early to know if this is a trend or if this is going to continue. It's a little bit bigger than just a statistical blip.
Right.
There may be other factors at play, but you have to remember this is in the age of increased awareness and supposedly, you know, families coming in to get services and, quote-unquote, better diagnosis. I sort of laughed at the idea of better diagnosis, but I think that is at play in at least some cases. And yet, instead of the rates going up, as they appear to be going down among the youngest children, so the only counter argument then was, well, we got better at diagnosing for a while, but now we seem to be getting worse again. I mean, if the medical profession really wants to assume that terrible of a reputation that they were bad at diagnosing and then they got better and now they're getting bad again, if they want to assume that mantle, I don't think they do.
You know, we could talk about this for a long time, and we need to have you back. I want to have you back when Bobby's here, because obviously there's a lot that you two can talk about in terms of how you approach this differently and the conclusions you've reached. David Kirby is the author of the New York Times bestseller, Evidence of Harm. It's a pleasure to have you on Ring of Fire. Come back soon.
Thank you, David.
The PAP Attack.
Dick Cheney has seen to it that the shrub is building a $600 million U.S. embassy in Baghdad. And one of the many stories behind that story is that the GOP Cheney Corporation is using labor that was kidnapped from the Philippines in order to get the job done. You see, Cheney's having the embassy built by his friends, the First Kuwaiti Trading and Construction Company. It's really just a Halliburton subcontract company, and according to a spokesman for that Halliburton subcontractor company, here are the facts. First of all, the Filipino workers were specifically